This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, baby. Good news, bad news. I got some good news for you, Rockets fans. I got some bad news for you. We'll start with the bad news. We'll get the bad news out of the way. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. The bad news, and it might not even be bad news. It might just be meh news.
Meh.
The bad news, B-E-H, get it? Bad or meh?
I gotcha.
I'm not sure the Rockets are much better today than they were yesterday, despite being a part of one of the biggest trades in recent NBA history. That's the bad news. You want the good news. Figgy, I know you're ready for this. I got to start my hump day off with some good news. You ready? Here's the good news.
Yeah?
The Toyota Diner is below budget. Tillman Fertitta has done it again for the second consecutive year. Your Houston Rockets, who play at the Toyota Diner, are officially below budget. Are the Rockets run like a contender or a place where you eat dinner? That is the question, John Lopez.
Adding a baked potato instead of mashed potatoes is not going to go up. I'll put it that way, all right? The old salt grass is going to be just fine for a while. Look, I don't want to
love me some salt grass.
It's really good. It's really good. It's a trade. it's definitely a big trade. Getting Covington, Robert Covington from Minnesota. Of course, Clint Capella heads that way. A lot of other moving parts, including the very popular Gerald Green. And a first round pick went to the Nuggets. Four team trade. You can get all the details. We will give you all the details over the course of the show. But in terms of, okay, what does it mean for the Rockets? It's an interesting dynamic at work because you just hit it on the head. They've made no secret about, kind of made a secret, but there have been reports that the Rockets' main priority right now is to get under the luxury tax threshold. They will do that. Does that compromise the win now mode that the Rockets have to be in? I mean, let's be honest here. They brought in Westbrook, shipped off Chris Paul because they couldn't get over the hump, right? So they think this is going to get them over the hump. They are in win now mode. Their window is closing. It's not like half, you know, almost closed, but it's closing. So they have to do everything they can to win now. Does this do it? Does this get them in win now mode? The presumption is, well, they're going to bring in another big man before the 3 p.m. deadline on tomorrow. But there are also reports saying that this is going to be the style with which they play the rest of the way, which is small, bringing in a Covington who's kind of isn't he kind of like an Ariza? I guess if you had to compare his
a better
game.
Ariza. I mean, he was all first team defense last year. He's not a bad player. It's just kind of weird. Like, we've seen the Golden State Warriors do their thing, you know, small ball. I guess the Rockets are going to try to do that. But I mean, if you look at the teams in the playoffs, I have no doubt that this team can win in the regular season. I have zero doubt about that. But in the playoffs, I mean, you're gonna need a little bit of muscle down there. And PJ Tucker's basically now your
power five
forward.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can sell this as a win now move. I look at it as, I don't know that it's a coincidence that you're below the luxury tax. And let's be honest, we're not making this up. This isn't reckless speculation. Let's just go to Brian Windhorst. And this was Brian Windhorst during the offseason talking about the Houston Rockets. And this is one of the main guys for ESPN, one of the national media types, just to show that this narrative, we got to be fair to Mr. Fertitta. You know, this narrative is not something that is being made up around these parts. This is one of the most respected guys in NBA journalism talking about the reputation of owner Tillman Fertitta.
If Tillman Fertitta was here, their owner, he would get mad at me. I don't know what their motivation is in terms of money, because the moves that they made during the season were all to reduce payroll. Mm-hmm. They made moves to get under the luxury tax. They gave away a first-round pick this mm-hmm. year that they mm-hmm. could have used in another deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just to draft the guy 27th or mm-hmm. 25th or whatever the pick mm-hmm. is. They could have used it in another deal. And they also didn't use their mid-level exception mm-hmm. to get under the luxury tax. That's a hard sell to me that their number one priority is winning.
Okay, so there you go. That is something that people are questioning right now. That's mm-hmm. that's what's being thrown out there. And you had Tillman Fertitta last year say that, you know, it was kind of a fluke that the Rockets got below the luxury tax, to which you and I both spoke with people at the front in the front mm-hmm. office, and he actually kind of clarified that maybe that was a little bit of a misspeak, and that they were supposed to get below the luxury tax at some point. So when he said it was a fluke and you're throwing in first round picks and trades to get below it, it was something, I guess he just kind of got caught in the moment and got mm-hmm. a little bit defensive. But this was Tillman Fertitta openly saying that some of the time the goal is going to be to get below the tax.
As long as one of the next 3 years we're not over it, I don't care. We have a chance to win a championship this year. If they want to go $10 million over, I don't really care. We also look at the ability to get us lower, so if there's another opportunity, we have something to do also.
Yeah, and the opportunity might have been right now with Capella and adding pieces otherwise, right? Because you clearly were going to make some moves, but I'm telling you, it's got some good. It really does. I think the trade has some good.
Lay out the good for me. I yeah. like good. What's the good?
I think, you know, in terms of some of the teams that you're going to face in order to get where you want to go, you're going to have that shut down wing. You just absolutely are going to have that guy because let's look at some of the competition that you're facing. I mean, you got guys like Kawhi Leonard, you know, down in Los Angeles with the Clippers. You've got guys obviously in your own, just to try to get seeding, that have some outstanding scoring, slashing wings that are in the 6'5 to 6'8 range. So he's going to help you with that. It has some merit. It does kick the can down the road a little bit in terms of staying viable in the conference, all right, and in postseason position. It doesn't make you a contender for a championship,
no, it
though. It does not. So you have to say.
But I don't know that they were before. So.
Exactly. This is what I would say. Does it make you? Does it give you a chance to be in better position in the postseason mm-hmm. and better position against some individuals that you're going to face that are big time stars? Yes, it does. No, it does. Covington gives you, like I said, he's kind of an Ariza. You say he's a better Ariza. I agree with that. It does make you put you in that position. But let's talk about winning a championship, which is where you've been in for 6-8 years now. You've been, you know, proclaiming that you're a championship contender, championship or bust, etc. No, it doesn't, because the Lakers are huge. The Lakers have size on size on size, and you can't compete with
that. So who's guarding Montrezl Harrell?
That's exactly right.
I mean, no, I'm even talking about the Clippers. Like, who's guarding Montrezl Harrell?
Well, I was going to say,
PJ Tucker now?
And then there are the Clippers. The Clippers are another team that, yeah, you know, you can do some things against the Kawhis and the Paul Georges, but you can't do things against those bigs that you're going to face down the road. It puts you in better position. It doesn't put you in position to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and anyone, I think they can win regular season games, but I think when the playoffs come around, the Rockets aren't really much better today than they were yesterday.
I say win. Win as in what your stated goal is.
Well, the stated goal. I think you can basically punt on that. This team's not winning a championship. Mm-hmm. That's very, very safe to say. I mean, James Harden can get hot. Russell Westbrook can get hot. But, I mean, you're just going to be very small. Now, they could add a center, and we'll see what happens. But I liked what Capella brought. I know that Capella had his shortcomings in the playoffs last year, and he was an easy target and whatnot. He's 25 years old. He's giving you a double-double. And, I mean, he's one of those guys that can run the floor and stuff. It's not like he's just some stiff sitting down there. So you've taken away any threat of a pick and roll. That's mm-hmm. gone. And now all of a sudden it's just going to be five guys sitting around the perimeter watching. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be even more of the isolation that we've seen. And the reality is, John, you know this. Everyone knows this. I know a lot of people, the people that are going to try to sell you on this trade are going to say, well, you know, the Warriors, that they won by playing a large amount of small ball. Yes, they did. But typically, if you're going to play small ball, if you're going to play that style, there's a lot of ball movement involved. You have to move the ball a lot. And
it's a great point.
The Rockets don't move the ball. So you're playing small ball, but you're playing ISO. You're playing a lot of ISO. If you're going to play small ball, the small ball lineups that have worked historically in the NBA, you can go back to any one. There's a lot of ball movement, and that's just not a part of what the Rockets do. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle. I think they're going to be looking for a new coach. Did they get a good defender? Yes. Do they have somebody that's probably a 3-and-D guy, better or definitely better than what PJ Tucker is? Yes. But you're very small. You don't move the rock. It's a tough situation. And the bottom line is, I don't know what they could have done. So maybe if I am Tillman Fertitta and I put myself in his shoes, I'm probably trying to cut salary as well and stay below the tax.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're going to be able to switch a lot more on the perimeter, which the Rockets like to do. They'll be able to switch a lot more. They're going to have more ability to do that. PJ Tucker is a cliche bell, high motor guy.
Oh, no.
You know, he really is. I mean, he's the epitome of that.
Oh, no.
He's going to get you some production inside and some rebounds that you don't expect to get. But what is basketball ultimately always about more than any other sport? Matchups. The matchups that they're going to be able to put on you, you can't stop. I expect you play the Lakers. And
who's guarding Anthony Davis? Is that PJ?
Who's guarding Anthony Davis? They're going to post up wings. They're going to post up, you know, LeBron's going to post up like crazy.
I mean, you saw Zion on Sunday. They were putting him on the block.
They're going to post up Zion. I mean, that's not a...
He ain't getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's not a huge contender, but still, they're going to match up with you in terms of what you're trying to do with the counterpunch, which is posting up, whether it's the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, and you just can't match that.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's not awful, but it's definitely not great. It's not one of those moves that puts you over the top. Let's be honest. This isn't, you know, Otis Thorpe for Clyde Drexler or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Let's make no mistake about it. This is another example.
Love Otis Thorpe, though.
Shout out to Otis. You don't love him too much. You didn't recognize him at the Houston Sports Awards. I don't want to hit you with an RC.
He didn't recognize
there.
Me either. I put some gray on too.
I don't want to hit you with an RC there, but you know that was almost as bad as my Jacob Martin.
Nothing was as bad as that.
Pedestrian.
Not a thing was as bad as that.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. Well spoken Wednesday. So Stanford Rout is going to be in the building. Also, if Astros PR was in control of your life, where would you be right now? They've made a few mistakes. They jacked the hashtag from the XFL. We got that and the worst hashtags each team in town could possibly use. That's at 10:40. Also, there was a move yesterday, Mookie Betts from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. I would try to localize this from an Astros perspective, but quite honestly, I don't think the Astros are at the point right now, especially with the loss of Gerrit Cole, where we need to worry about what goes on in the National League. If it ever becomes a problem that Mookie Betts is on the Dodgers for the Astros, then that's a good thing because that means that you won the American League. They got their hands full in the American League. So as far as that perspective goes, I think if you want to look at it on the bright side of things, the Red Sox got rid of one of the best young players in baseball. Yeah. So it was actually a good day for the Astros, to be determined for the Rockets. But the good thing is the Toyota Diner. Below budget. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Is the NFL shifting one way while the Texans shift the other? The OG is going to provide a case study next. Is the NFL going one way as the Texans go another? John Lopez thinks that there's reason to believe that is a possibility. Bill O'Brien, King Bill, as I like to call him, is the shot caller. He's the coach. He's the GM. This was B.O.B. I thought this was an interesting quote after the Texans beat the Titans. Big win, by the way. So credit to Bill O'Brien for having the guys ready to go out there and get that dub. Credit to Justin Reed for the play he made in it. But this was Bill O'Brien after this scrappy game talking about what this game looked like to him.
You know, so I think you've got two physical teams, and that was what you saw yesterday. To me, is that's the NFL. That game yesterday was an NFL football game right there.
Here's the thing. When I started looking, and this is what we do in after the Super Bowl, kind of like, okay, what did the greatest teams this year have? How did they win? You know, and it's a copycat NFL league, right? And it's been that way for decades, from back in the 3 yards in a cloud of dust days to run and shoot. People started copying those tendencies to West Coast offense. Everybody, you know, when the Niners were doing their deal, went West Coast offense. Obviously, that translated into the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Then there was the Mike Shanahan, not the Kyle Shanahan, the Mike Shanahan school of Broncos, you know, spread, run, zone, read, spread, run, zones. And then now there's the zone options, et cetera. So I was looking at the last four teams standing, right? Titans did it one way. Obviously, you know, the Chiefs did it another way with Patrick Mahomes. Packers and 49ers had their style of playing. Niners were more like the Shanahan mold, and so was, to a smaller degree, the Packers. And then you throw in, you know, the best records in the NFL. You throw in the Baltimore Ravens, and clearly they did it yet another way. So if this is a copycat league, what is there to copy? You know, if you're the Houston Texans, if you're Bill O'Brien, you know, that's one of the innovation offensively. We're in the midst of a big transition in the NFL. We're transitioning to that back to that Shanahan school of thought, you know, that they used quite well in San Francisco and turned their team completely around, to more zone read, quarterbacks running, quarterbacks unafraid to tuck the ball when they need to, mostly because of the spread offense and the zone read off and the RPO offense, and also because quarterbacks are protected more by rule, and players don't take them out as much when they tuck the ball and run. And that led me to believe, are the Texans doing any of that? We've seen parts of that. We've seen hints of the RPOs. We've seen hints of being able to use Deshaun Watson that way. But is Bill O'Brien capable of going all in? That is the trend. That is the absolute trend. There were two trends in the NFL this year that I saw that were very, very prevalent and very, very important for where the league is going in the next few years. Offensive innovation like that. Number one, are the Texans capable of doing that?
No.
And the second thing.
Oh, sorry. Didn't
no, I'll let you have your
Probably
say.
Supposed to wait for
I'll
that.
Let you have your say. And the second thing, I think, is even more interesting. Players gained a lot of leverage. If players don't like that innovation, if that players don't like that situation, the style, the leadership or coaching of their situation, players gained a lot of leverage in the last year, last couple of years. They're demanding, you know, they're able to demand more trades. They're able to dictate where they're going when they're frustrated in the situation that they're in. So let's put those two things together. Players can now dictate a lot more their futures if they don't like their situation, right? That's one thing.
That's true.
And then there's the situation they're in. They have to like it, right? Well, clearly Patrick Mahomes likes his. You know, Lamar Jackson likes his. Everyone in San Francisco likes what they're doing. And the Titans, well, that's a little bit different. That's a little more old school because they have that monstrous, you know, generational type running back. Can the Texans do any of that? Or, I mean, I hate to even say this because who knows? Is there a day in the future when DeAndre Hopkins decides he wants to try to dictate a move out of here? Is there a day in the future where players like that see what they're doing around the league and see what's happening in Houston and saying, man, I got to get out of here?
I mean, there has to. I think it increases with what happened last week. I think the chances of that increase significantly. We've never really had someone, you know, demand to be run out of town. And whenever it appeared that way, I think there was more to it with Dwayne Brown. He wanted a little bit more money. I don't think he had a problem with necessarily the way things were going here. I think he wanted some more money, which he said as much. But, I mean, when one guy is in charge of everything, if you are in that situation where you're not taking the next step, I think if you are a DeAndre Hopkins who's going to be looking for that next big deal, or if you are J.J. Watt who's got 2 years left, who's trying to, you know, solidify his legacy as his body gets, weaker and weaker, and he continues to try to play, I think it does increase. And you asked the question, you know, can the offense be innovative? The answer is no. I mean, that's not, you know, I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but the answer is no. Bill O'Brien is not an innovative offensive guy.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I mean, it's not whenever an offensive coordinator is innovative or an offensive coordinator is creative, it doesn't take long to notice. Like it immediately happens. Chip Kelly came into the NFL. He sucked as an NFL head coach, and he sucked as a guy who called all the shots. He was awful. But you know what? That first year he came into the league, they won 10 games, and that offense, you could see that he was doing innovative stuff. Sean McVay, immediately when they go to the Rams, the offense gets better from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay. Andy Reid, he went to 4 conference championships in his first 6 seasons.
Yeah.
So you don't all of a sudden, you can suddenly become a better offensive coach, and the Texans can win games with Bill O'Brien as coach. They've shown that. You can get better, and they can find different ways to win games. There's no doubt about that. Like, the Texans could come next season with the talent that they have on this roster, with Deshaun Watson, with all the stuff on offense, with the offensive line improving, the Texans could go 12-4, and they could make a run into the Super Bowl. But based on your question, you asking me, is the Texans offense going to be innovative? No, as long as Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator, and this is why Clint Sterner thinks that says that the thing that he wants most is a new offensive coordinator. As long as Bill O'Brien is the offensive coordinator, we've seen it for 6 years. He's never called a top 10 offense. Mm-hmm. The offense didn't improve much last year. Guys like Dan Orlovsky criticize it. As long as he's calling the offense, there you can win games. But you're damn sure not going to win games because of an innovative offense. It's just not going
to
happen.
You have to be very clear about this. These two things that were the big trends in the NFL in 2019 and into 2020, they go together. You know, it's more of a players' league than it's ever been. The players in these types of offenses, whether it's you know the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, or the Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh made some switches, man. John Harbaugh changed the way he did things because of Lamar Jackson. And players dictate that. The offenses have to be a lot more creative. Even San Francisco, what's old is new again, with the Mike Shanahan, John Elway stuff. Now it's San Francisco, and say what you will about Garoppolo, the running game and the zone scheme offensively running game, it was what was the motor, you know, was the motor that got them going. And then there's that outlier of the Titans. Well, the Texans don't have a Derrick Henry, you know. It would be nice. Then you could maybe do more with what Bill O'Brien's style is. So that goes together with the fact that when that doesn't work, when the players have more leverage and more power and are a lot freer to dictate their futures, I'm not saying they're free to dictate their futures, but a lot freer to dictate their futures, those things go together. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that at some point a player that we all love very much, whomever that player is going to say, man, I got to get out. I got to get out for my future.
I mean, I'm watching TV over the weekend. DeAndre Hopkins is shopping for $40 million houses in Los Angeles. He got outbid. Someone bid 45. He bid 40. Like, he's out there doing his thing. I'm watching J.J. Watt on Saturday Night Live. Like, these are mega stars.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of the classiest mega stars have found their way out of town. So if you don't take that next step when you're doing something different, you know, you're doing something different than everybody else, and sometimes that can happen.
Right.
And there is a recipe for success. But as far as offensive innovation, don't hold your breath on that, because that's just not really the way things are going to go, and that's just not really the way things are set up right now for your Houston Texans. We'll get into the rest of the division. There's a lot of stuff going on. Jacksonville, my gosh, what a mess that is. Could they be on their way out? Tennessee, are they this year's version of the 2017 Jags who fell off after a trip to the AFC Championship? And the Indianapolis Colts, man, their GM is pissed off. They got a lot of assets. We'll ask the burning questions about the AFC South in the 11 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to Stanford Rupp about those on a well-spoken Wednesday. But we saw what happened yesterday as we were going off the air. The Houston Astros, they have a new motto. They unveiled it. They had a video. Hashtag for the H. Only problem is the Roughnecks of the XFL have been using that for over a month. January 2nd was the first time, to be exact, that they were using it. To say the very least, it's been a very, very rough offseason for the Houston Astros in regards to PR. So we want to ask you this question. If Astros PR were in charge of your life, where would you currently be? And in the spirit of the stolen hashtag, what are the hashtags that the teams around town should not be using? In the Loop continues next. Interesting offseason for the Houston Astros. If a team has ever needed the season to start, I think the Astros would be prime example. 50 days, John. 50 days till opening day in Houston. Astros can try to put all this behind them or at least have an escape between those white lines to try to move on. And my goodness, yesterday was supposed to be a great day. You got a new GM in James Click, and you're unveiling something that we've been anticipating for a long time. The season motto for 2020, What would it be?
We talked about it a couple times.
It was a lot of times these aren't very important, but in this situation, given the symbolism, given everything you've been through, this was an important time for the Astros, and we wondered what the symbol would be, and they unveiled it. A video played in front of all the Houston media types. There was a hype video. The juice box was shown. George Springer was doing his thing. Alex Bregman was doing his thing. You had the Altuve walk-off. And then the hashtag comes across the screen. What's it going to be? Hashtag for the H.
It's creative. It's good. It's strong. It says what they need to say.
And the team in town, the XFL Roughnecks, the Houston Roughnecks, have been using that hashtag since training camp began in early January.
It's mind-blowing that someone somewhere in that big old office over at Minute Maid Park didn't say, should we see if that's being used? Much less, should we see
type it into the computer?
Should we see if that's being used in Houston? I mean, it's just that's a classic. You cannot make this up. The team accused of stealing signs, penalized for stealing signs, dragged through the mud for that scandal, losing their manager and their general manager for losing that scandal, being, you know, kind of the whipping boy around baseball, stole a hashtag.
And it's funny,
whether
man,
they like, normally did it or not.
It's funny. It's theirs. I mean, you type it into the internet, everything comes up. Every Astros player comes up. Yeah, type up hashtag.
Not every.
Well, pretty much it's all Astros at this point. Mm-hmm. So they got it. And it's not like something serious. Like, we're not sitting here saying, oh, my gosh. No, it's just ironic. It's funny. And if you can't laugh about this, you can't laugh about anything. I think this is absolutely hilarious that this happened. Big scheme of things, it's just a hashtag. But my goodness, this is hilarious.
And then you throw another level on top of that. Astros PR has been an absolute train wreck.
You think?
An absolute
going back to the
train wreck.
Midnight message after the Brandon Taubman thing that they basically had to refute.
And then they doubled down on it.
They doubled down, then they had to refute. It's been rough PR for the Houston Astros, which brought the OG to ask this question. If Astros PR were in charge of your life, where would you be? 713-572-4610. Where would you be if the Astros public relations was in charge of your life? John, do you have an answer for that question?
I'd probably be somewhere working, like everybody else in my neighborhood, some civil service job, 9 to 5. Nothing, shout out to the civil service workers. Nothing wrong with that. But just sort of, plugging away, trying to make a living, or maybe even worse, in trouble. Had I hung out with, stayed hanging out with some of my friends from high school. I might be in the big house somewhere, or at least in trouble. Wearing a bracelet, ankle bracelet, something like that.
I'd be screwed. I mean, I've probably had to do a little bit more damage control than you. I would probably be in Delaware, probably like a small town in Delaware, covering Friday night football games, maybe the JV games, writing for the Delaware Sun or whatever it is. I think I would be, that's where I would be if Astros PR were in charge of my
Figgy?
My life.
I don't know. I know definitely I wouldn't be here.
that's the main thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here.
I was pretty much a good kid. We all have our issues, but I was pretty much.
You were doing blow in Mexican restaurants.
I know. Come on now. I mean, yes, but no. Yeah, it is. But either way, I wouldn't be here. That's for dang sure. So it kind of leads to the question of hashtags.
Hashtags. Let's get into these hashtags, because some of these teams around town, the Texans, the Rockets, and the Astros, there's certain things that they need to avoid. Mm-hmm. You need to avoid certain things in order to maintain the image that PR firms or whatever are supposed to be in charge of. So what are the hashtags that the teams around town should not be using?
Hashtag stealing hashtags?
For the Astros?
Yeah. Hashtag stealing hashtags. What else?
Here are some from the In the Loop Loophole Facebook page. This is from Terry McGuire for the Astros. Hashtag stealing more than bases. Hashtag camera crews fake news. Hashtag we are watching. For the Texans, hashtag new and improved. Hashtag adios JJ. Hashtag Texans draft party.
How about hashtag it's not my job?
For the Rockets, this is courtesy of Terry McGuire. Hashtag fundamental basketball. Yeah, I don't think you can say that. Hashtag brick by brick. Hashtag flying high and falling short.
What are some other good ones for the Texans? Hashtag
hashtag new play, who dis? This is from Derwin Jordan. Hashtag pray for Fuller. Hashtag Casari who?
Oh, Casario. Yeah. Casari who?
Way too soon there. Mm-hmm. He also has for the Astros, Derwin Jordan. Hashtag fake it till you take it. Hashtag breaking ribs, not rolls. Splitty, rapping Duke. He's weighed in. Texans, hashtag need a Bob boob lift.
What?
Need a B-O-B boob lift?
No, he doesn't, does he?
What's he talking about?
No.
Astros, hashtag preparation HF for the H. What's he talking about? And then Rockets, this is mean, Splitty. Frichipa.
Oh,
for Chipa. For Tillman Fertitta. I got some of my own.
Some Rockets are coming in from 713-572-4610. If you want to text in hashtag trash can. come on now, Rockets. Hashtag free Hong Kong. I guess this is for the Texans. Hashtag steaming pile.
I got some for the. I did some of my own.
Oh, good.
I did some of my own. Loopholes. Thanks for trying to bring it. Good effort. Here are the Texans hashtags that they should not, and I mean should not, use. Mm-hmm. Hashtag King Bill.
Well.
Hashtag South Threepeat.
Oh, no.
Hashtag tough.
That might be a possibility.
Hashtag tough, smart, dependable.
I like it.
Hashtag relative to screw you. Hashtag you suck, mother effer. You suck too, mother effer. Hashtag I'm sorry, JJ. I never meant to hurt you.
Hashtag I don't have a play. I don't hash.
Here's Rockets. Rockets hashtags they should never use. Mm-hmm. Hashtag beat the budget.
Oh, that's a Fertitta hashtag.
Hashtag Toyota Diner.
Yeah, that's what you're calling it, right?
Yeah, it is a Toyota Diner. It is being run like a restaurant. Hashtag no China, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag luxury tax these nuts. Hashtag $1 billion seller.
Hashtag here's your sign. Hashtag pray for PJ for the Rockets.
He's going to be worn the hell out when the playoffs comes around.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's having to do a lot of banging. I know he's a power forward at Texas in college. I feel bad for you, buddy. Mm-hmm. He was in front of me at Bank of America the other day.
Yeah, he was cashing a check, right?
Yeah, he was making a deposit. They had to check with the supervisor because his check was a little steep. Thought it was interesting that wherever he got that check from. He didn't use the direct deposit, but you know, it's not every day you go to a Bank of America on Kirby and PJ Tucker's in front of you.
Hashtag no lead is safe for the finals. I mean, for the Texans. Hashtag fake punt. Hashtag for the Astros can't take it back. Well, you don't know that yet.
Yeah, you don't know that yet. They got a chance. They got a good squad. Astros, it's going to be fun. 50 days from now, the Astros, they need to get on the field. I want to ask you this, because sometimes when I go home, I listen back to the show.
Hashtag doesn't matter, Brian.
Let that go.
Yeah.
Sometimes, sometimes something that was funny in the moment, it becomes more funny over time.
Like
we talk about traveling well with time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it only takes a few hours for it to travel well with time. We love John McClain.
Love John McClain.
Love John McClain.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the most fun with John McClain. I think we challenge John McClain the most. I think I think that John McClain, we bring out a side of John McClain that isn't necessarily always Broughton.
Right. Broughton?
Have you ever seen the movie Bring It On? It's Ben Broughton's sister.
Okay, it's kind of
new lingo. It's before. It's a little after your time, John.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday might have been the most dramatic, and I've been accused of being dramatic, so I can understand when loopholes and listeners say, Landry, you're dramatic. I get it. Yes, I am sometimes. But that's just me. I'm just giving you what I got. But yesterday might have been the most dramatic moment in the history of this show, John. And you and I have gone at it a lot. You've been pretty dramatic at times.
What?
Sometimes. Okay. Not as dramatic as me.
Okay.
But yesterday might have been the most dramatic moment in the history of us doing shows together.
It slapped us both in the face. Like, what?
This is our 429th show.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, John McClain was overly dramatic yesterday. So, the NFL Hall of Famer did not get to go to the Super Bowl. Oh, okay. You want to get a plug in? Go ahead.
It's time for a plug.
Oh, Bruce Matthews is signing. Where at Half Price? Oh, Half Price Books. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And one other thing I was very proud of. This is the first time
I've been to the Super Bowl. All right, hold on. I was just trying to poke fun at when McClain will interrupt to throw a little plug in there.
Throw a little plug.
But yesterday, so he didn't get to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I'm gonna say this. They did this for Sean Adams, who works in Austin, all season long at UT. They left his seat open.
Yeah,
because he died.
Yeah.
When the
remember
lady,
Bob Allen here.
Bob Allen.
They left the seat open for him
because he died.
When he died.
When he died.
Lost his struggle with cancer.
The young lady who the LSU coach, she passed away. She worked for ESPN.
Yeah.
They left their seat open at the national championship.
Don Banks, great NFL writer from Sports Illustrated and other places. He passed away in 2019. They left his seat open at this year's Super Bowl.
Richard Durrett, guy I worked with back in the day, one of the best baseball writers that you will ever see. When he passed away, tragically, the Texas Rangers, they left his seat open.
Yeah. Class.
It happens.
Class. Yeah.
John McClain just didn't go to the Super Bowl. He's more healthy right now than he's been in, like, damn near 15, 20 years.
Probably. Lost some weight. Looks healthier. He's doing a lot of walking.
But he didn't get to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Not a big deal, you know?
No.
It happens.
No.
It happens. And quite honestly, I was happy he got to watch the game with Carol.
He seemed happy.
He got to watch the game with his wife for the first time in his entire career. That's awesome.
Yeah, he seemed real happy.
And he got to watch the commercials, and he loved it.
Yeah.
He was glowing yesterday.
Yeah.
Look like a guy who just lost his virginity walking down the halls at high school.
Okay, if you want to go there, that's fine.
But tell
me, bounce in his step.
Tell me this isn't one of the most dramatic things you've ever heard in your life that they did at the Super Bowl because John McClain didn't go.
And one other thing I was very proud of, this is the first time I didn't go to the Super Bowl in 40 years, and they kept a seat for me in the press box, which I thought was very cool. My friends were tweeting it out. And so I retweeted.
John, you're not dead.
And I thought that was really cool of the NFL to do that.
Man, that's nice, but I don't know how I would feel about that.
I feel great. It's an honor, and I couldn't thank them more that they left my seat open.
What is that?
2 weeks in advance.
I mean, that's an honor, but I feel kind of creeped
out. That's bad karma, bro.
You guys ever been in that press box? Know how prestigious it is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
Super Bowl Sunday.
You didn't die.
I was honored. Anyway, I was very proud.
No, that's a nice honor.
NFL. For doing that.
Leave my
I didn't know you
open.
Guys were going to be Debbie Downers. I wouldn't have brought it up.
My God. When he said that, I know my jaw just fell open. I was like, they left a seat open for you after they leave us? Literally on the same press.
We're not making this up.
No, we're not
making it up. It's a tradition.
Yeah. Literally on the same press row that they left a seat open for a dead guy. They left a seat open for McClain. I was like, what? I mean, yeah, thank you for the honor, but save it.
Sometimes you don't want the honor.
Exactly.
Like, McClain kind of seems like the guy who definitely, like, I don't like this, but with McClain, as I get to know him, when he goes to a restaurant on his birthday, he definitely wants him to come out and bring the cake and sing happy birthday to him, right?
One, I always avoid that.
Yeah, I do too. I say, seriously, don't do that. He wants the cake and he wants the candle and he wants the happy birthday sung to him, right?
He wants to wear the sombrero at a Mexican restaurant and have him sing Las Mañanitas. I mean, come on. He wants that run. Absolutely.
Like at Hooters when they come out there and make you hula hoop? McClain's going to be out there hula hooping. Yeah, I was McClain. We're at Hooters tomorrow in Pearland, by the way, 10 to 2. I'm sending work notes as we speak.
Can I say something
bosses.
Real quick and we'll get back to McClain?
Are you going
to
do a plug?
Thank you very much. I'm going to channel John McClain.
Yeah, give us a plug.
I finally realized what the loopholes are.
Okay.
Are loopholes. And if you listen to this show and Sports Radio 610.
Don't offend them.
You are a loophole.
Don't offend them.
No, this is a compliment. Loopholes are like the Wisconsin Badgers. They travel well.
Okay.
You know, loopholes travel well.
And they drink a lot.
The loopholes are the Wisconsin Badgers of radio listeners. They travel well. Tomorrow we're going to be at Hooters in Pearland. You can get all the details by just
10 to 2.
Google is your friend. Back to John McClain. I don't know how to
What are the other things you do for attention, like as far as the birthday thing?
Like McClain? Like someone who likes that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
money
know.
On the shirt.
Oh, yeah, money on the shirt on your
Pin
birthday.
Money on the
if
shirt.
McClain was working at Starbucks or something, and they start pinning the money, or La Michoacana, they do that with all the tellers back there. You know, they have the dollar bills and the $5 bills on a safety pin hanging. McClain will have like a long tail of bills walking through the aisles if he worked at La Michoacana. if McClain was having a bachelor party, he'd wear the sash and a crown.
Oh God, bachelor!
Right, he'd be in Vegas wearing the sash.
Oh, and he's definitely the guy. McClain is definitely that guy who, if he goes to Vegas, he's got like the big ass like 96 drink, like the 96 ounce like frozen drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just a total waste of money and it's a headache. Like you can get the drinks wherever, but he's got the 96 like big drink, all that. We love you, John.
We love you.
But damn,
they left his
but a seat open. Like, come on.
I don't even want to say this.
What?
Do I have to now?
You don't have to. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
I'll say something separate of my thought, and you can put it together however you want.
Okay.
I'm going to see Willie Nelson at the rodeo this year.
Okay.
I've
seen him.
My wife is a huge Willie Nelson fan.
I saw him at College Station Chili Fest when I was a kid.
I saw him when I was in college at good old-fashioned G. Raleigh White Coliseum. That was like 1980. My wife loves him, seeing him probably 7-8 times. So we're going to see Willie Nelson at the rodeo this year.
Okay.
Because it might be the last time we see him.
His voice is going, man. His voice is going.
So I'll just leave that out there.
I mean, he's looked the same age for 35 years, though.
Yeah.
To say Willie. And you
that
know why?
Weed, man.
It's the weed instead of the alcohol. Yeah. Look at the dudes who drank that hard. It's that marijuana.
Yeah.
Be honest, John. I know you're not really a weed smoker, but if Willie Nelson came up to you after the show and said, hey, sir, would you mind going twisting up with me backstage, would you do it?
100%.
Yeah, you have to, right?
100%. Yeah,
you have to.
Absolutely.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. John McClain will join us next Tuesday. We will not need to leave his seat open, and we love you very much, John McClain. Just thought that was a tad bit dramatic. How pathetic are the Jacksonville Jaguars? How scary are the Colts? And are the Tennessee Titans a one-year wonder? We're going to dive into the questions that matter in the AFC South as the 2020 season officially begins next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.